the classic Camelot musical, of course, focused on the excitement that was, what do the simple folk do? Well, some of those simple pleasures can be actually combined into 25 of them, specifically Winnie the Pooh's 25 simple pleasures when it comes to England in general. We're delighted to be able to welcome that legend that actually is the chief executive of Visit England. Yes, it is the one and only James Burrisford. Good morning, James. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for that wonderful welcome.
The way you actually impressed people at the recent cheese scenario up in Nantwich, Sarah has still been eulogising about you, even to this day. So great stuff on that. But cheese eating, astonishingly, doesn't actually feature in these 25 simple pleasures. Probably it came in number 26.
Probably, yes.
Yeah. But some of these key areas, such as admiring Bamborough Castle from the beach in Northumberland, of course, much beloved for those of us of a certain age who remember Blake Stephen, I think, being shot up there.
Yeah,
I know. taking in the grandeur of Chatsworth House, of course, from the park in Chatsworth, Derbyshire, country fair scenario there as well from that. Picking blackberries on Box Hill, sorry. This sounds very, very rural and quite delightful and, dare I say it, James, quintessentially English.
Quintessential English is, I think, absolutely the description. Yeah, these are 25 simple pleasures that have been inspired by the lovable character Winnie the Pooh. And we're looking at these and highlighting these just before the bank holiday weekend, obviously, because from our point of view, we want as many Brits to get out and about and explore the beautiful countryside, the beautiful heritage and the wonderful simple pleasures that are associated with the heritage and the countryside of this country over the bank holiday weekend. So it's just a wonderfully gentle, soft promotion.
Now, clearly Winnie the Pooh is the world's most famous bear and certainly has actually been partnered up with Walt Disney for quite some time now in all sorts of ways. Pooh Sticks obviously needs to make an appearance in one of these top 25 scenarios. Would you like to just share with us where the Pooh Sticks scenario comes together? I mean, could it be Skimming Stones at Holy Island? Not quite Pooh Sticks, I don't think.
No. I think, you know, you've got to associate the Pooh Sticks, haven't you, with the 100-acre wood in the story. And the wonderful thing about Winnie the Pooh associations are that they are at such a wonderful pace with the quality of life that our countryside has. So you can imagine you're playing Pooh Sticks wherever you are. As long as you've got a bit of river and a bridge and a twig from the tree, then you can play Pooh Sticks.
Exactly. It's the simplicity that makes it so wonderful. We've obviously had the Olympics. We've had the Commonwealth Games. We've had so many sort of areas in terms of high spots. This is a wonderful way of kind of reinforcing the joy of rural England. Presumably, it's obviously to look at overseas visitors as well as obviously making use of it for us natives.
Of course. I mean, Winnie the Pooh is iconic and read the world over, and the illustrations are close to not only our hearts here in England, but internationally too, international readers too. So the fact that we've got the downloadable guide on our website, visitengland.com/Winnie the Pooh, means that wherever you are in the world, you can download that and plan your journeys around some of these wonderful, simple pleasures.
It seems churlish to actually put a top 25 together in any kind of ranking order. But for whatever reason, we'll go for the top three at this particular area. Number three, picnicking on the shores of Windermere in the Lake District. I'd always advise you to take a brolly with respect to that, just from lots of experience in the Lake District. Worth having a brolly for Cumbria.
Well, you know, you say that these are seemingly a bit random, but they're not. There's a science behind this, because we did survey 2,000 parents. And so they were graded on the reactions from this survey. But, you know, Windermere, I've been on many occasions to Windermere, and I think I can count on one hand the times I've had to take a brolly. So if you go with the right frame of mind, the sun will shine on you, I promise.
James, clearly you actually sort of introduced your positivity to the programme, and we appreciate that. number two, of course, indulging in afternoon tea in Devon. That's something I've never actually availed myself of, but I've heard from many a folk that that's actually one of the delights of the world, really, the cream tea in Devon.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I love it, but I think you can have and enjoy a great English cream tea up and down the country. But Devon just is associated with the cream tea, you know, clotted cream, strawberry jam and the wonderful scones. You know, it's just the quintessential English experience, isn't it? And if you're out and about exploring the Devon countryside, then why not sit down, treat yourself to a simple pleasure that is afternoon tea?
I can almost hear the cries of, but what about us from Skegness and Saltburn and various other East Coast resorts? But in at first place, it's enjoying a fish supper on Blackpool Pier in Lancashire, of course.
Of course. Well, you know, Blackpool is so iconic, and a fish supper.
The Vegas of the North.
Well, you know, it has such great range of pleasures for all thrill seekers and those who wish to take life a little easier too. But, you know, I think the thing that just sums it up, that makes it quintessential, is that fish supper. And of course, you know, why wouldn't you enjoy that on Blackpool Pier? And you make the point about other seaside destinations. You know, our seaside destinations, our resorts up and down the country, are romantic, don't they? They're so evocative of yesteryear, and yet you can have such great fun in today's society. So the one thing I think that links them all together, it's fish and chips.
Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM both regularly produce audio postcards for the Midweek Drive and beyond, and we've done several from the capital, but I was fascinated to find that actually it's only negotiating the maze at Hampton Court Palace which actually made the top 10. Although, interestingly enough here, making the Queen's Guard laugh at Buckingham Palace came in at number 13. Extraordinary.
Well, you know, I think there's a heavy dose of Winnie the Pooh in that last one, making the guards laugh. But Hampton Court maze again is iconic, isn't it? You know, I sit here in the privileged position of being chief executive of the National Tourist Board, and I look at all that we've got to offer from north to south, from east to west, and it's just such a wonderful, rich variety of experiences. And, you know, this particular initiative with Winnie the Pooh, the 25 Simple Pleasures, is but skimming the surface of what we've got to offer in this country.
We've talked tourism, of course. There is another important aspect to this campaign because it also ties in with the partnership between Disney and Change for Life, specifically the 10-minute shake-up campaign, which inspires kids to actually get moving, which can only be good as well.
We're obviously very keen to see healthy eating up and down the countryside. And whilst, of course, you'd want to indulge perhaps in a little afternoon tea, then eating healthily, getting out and about in the countryside is just a way of reinvigorating the body. So, yes, it's not all about pure indulgence, this. It is about experiencing the great outdoors, getting the wind in your hair and the smell of the countryside. And that's just great for healthy living, isn't it?
James, I now perfectly understand why when Sarah Gayton said, "Oh, James Burriford is the best person ever. It's fantastic. Farmers on Film in his own, in her own stunning way." Can I actually sort of wrap up this particular piece by sharing two final questions with your good self? First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today to actually talk about 25 simple pleasures you can enjoy through visiting England and more?
I certainly have, and it's great to be speaking to someone as upbeat and ambassadorial as are you.
Well, the next critical question is, can we look forward to hopefully prevailing upon you to join us again in the not-too-distant future, and possibly as we head into autumn or fall for our American listeners, and indeed winter, to actually sort of continue banging the drum for the fabulous nature of the Visit England organisation?
Oh, listen, you can count on it.
James Burriford, we salute you. Take care. Astoundingly, of course, one of the absentees from the top 25 simple pleasures to enjoy in Visit England is the wonderful place Goole. Sheila Jones, ace inspirational soul. Why should Goole also be out there? I mean, we've got Cornwall, we've got Hampshire, we've got Wiltshire, we've got Cumbria, Suffolk, Devon, Berkshire, Isle of Wight. What about Goole?
We have a river.
Yes.
We have a canal.
Yes.
We have the most incredible earthworks that you've ever seen.
Well, there we are.
Which is when it was all drained in the late 1700s,
yeah.
Which are really quite fascinating. I don't think people know about that.
Mm.
And now we have got incredible earthworks going on to battle against the floods that overtook us last December and caused such havoc.
Incredible earthworks. So there we are. And of course, with those kind of floods, you could always have big poo sticks being played. Massive, gigantic poo sticks.
You do remember, I suppose, that I used to work for the company in England that had the license to make Winnie the Pooh and all their characters in mohair and make fantastic Winnie the Poohs and Eeyores and Tiggers and all the rest of them. That was Gabriel Designs in Doncaster.
Well, you see, Sheila, that's the reason we like to do a bit of production preparation for these shows. We don't just invite our guests on a whim, so to speak, just because we haven't heard from Sheila Jones, our inspirational guru from Goole for many time. But, you know, it's all connected from that point of view. This particular survey, which I was fascinated by in a whole range of ways, and obviously what James was actually talking about there, tapping into very much our sense of nostalgia and the notion that, you know, sometimes we've forget just how good England, and I'm using this obviously not because I've forgotten about the Scots or everything else there, or Wales or Irish, etc., but we are specifically talking about Visit England in this particular time, and it would seem churlish to actually have the Chief Executive Officer of Visit England, James Burriford, and say, well, what about Scotland then? It's a different line entirely. But in terms of those simple pleasures, is it true that perhaps some of our fondest memories are tied in with the kind of trips we actually went to on our youth, or in our youth, in fact?
Well, for me, yes, I was brought up in Liverpool, and for me, you know, my sort of memories of things were twofold. We either went north up into the Lake District, and you know, we went to the, you know, the iconic Windermere and all the rest of it, or we went down into North Wales, and we went along the coast there. And yes, I mean, that's what we did in those days. And you know, Queen's Ferry Bridge is where we all had to go through. God, that was a nightmare. That's now long bypassed. But yeah, those are the sort of things. We never got down to London. We never got to, we saw those things, but we never got there. So for us, yes, it was the countryside. It was going out and taking a picnic and all the joys of that.
Liv Clark, who we're speaking to at around about 20 to 10 this morning, has just sent up a post saying, looking forward to her live link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. 9:40 is West Coast correspondent, where she is, Cumbria, etc. She's prepping. So Alex doesn't throw too many curveballs at me on the show. As if I throw curveballs at people on the show. It's metaphorically speaking. Another sort of aspect that came out of this survey, Sheila, of course, was that nearly half of parents claim that their own fondest holiday memories are from time spent in England, and over a third of parents states that they enjoyed at least one family outing a month. Good practice, would you say?
Oh, for sure, good practice. These days, I think it's harder. I think that we seem to think, I don't know, going out with the family seems to be destination bound. And destinations, when I look at the prices to take families out now, is really quite substantial. And so I think that one a month is probably out of the reach to certainly some of the things that cost money. I was amazed just going to, you know, some of the country homes. The cost of going to those is really very substantial these days.
Well, you know, it's obviously a classic case. You don't want to buy them. You just want to visit them. That's a thought, but still.
Yeah.
And, of course, we'll also find out from Katie Grimerson what treats from Birmingham she might like to flag up. Talking about sort of times past, Diane Mather joins us next week, actually, on the Wednesday show. She's talking about old-fashioned table manners and are they a thing of the past. Are we into a nostalgic mode at present, Sheila? Do you think that we're in that sort of mode? Or is it just a case of, well, we're just more experientially enhanced and so we're looking on a bygone era which never really existed?
Well, I think we're always nostalgic, and the older we get, the more nostalgic we are, and we're getting older, Alex.
So, well, you might use the O word. I personally actually become more experientially enhanced. So yeah, it's an E number from that perspective.
I think older is good. I like being older.
Oh, that's, well, there we are. Well, I mean, if we actually go back to when we actually originated, we were actually all around about several billion years old, given that we evolved from hydrogen molecules.
Well, although a lady I heard was talking about older ladies being revered in previous societies as crones. And I thought crone is a lovely word. I quite fancy the idea of being a crone.
Yes. I'm not sure what positive lines we'll get from that, but if people do have any information with respect to that or would like to share, studio@sirenonline.co.uk. Crone FM, an interesting thought. finally, one little thing we needed to actually ask you today. Today, of course, the week after the A-level results, it's GCSE results, and we've heard the phrase, they are going to be volatile. Some might be excellent, some might be not so good, the final exams, etc. What advice, Sheila, would you actually give either parents or indeed youngsters who are kind of looking for their GCSE results and they're receiving them this morning in terms of, you know, what they should actually do? Thoughts of Sheila Jones, please.
It's so difficult. I mean, the sensible advice is to say, look, it's only a number. You are not your GCSE. I'm going to say O-level. You are not your GCSE
school certificate.
Result. Yeah, I know. it's a number. It does not define you. Realistically, I know they're really important, and I think it's really hard to be detached from the result. I think this year, from what I'm hearing from people, is that they feel there's maybe external factors which are beyond the control of the kids actually taking the exams, and I think you'll see some comments about that coming through as to how far government policy and things like that are affecting the actual grades. So I think even more, it's even more so to say, right, you know, this is not me. This is what the number that I've got from the work that I've done. And where do I go from here? I think not being attached to those numbers is just so important. It's like the old 11 plus days, you know, to be labelled an 11 plus failure at 11 was so hard to get beyond. I think we have to do the same with all exam results.
Sheila, as ever, sage and perceptive advice. Still to come on the programme, we've got Robert Bearsby, a new singer-songwriter that we're going to be listening to, I suppose, quite frequently, really. He's got a wonderful tune called These Strings, which is very frankly mellow. We have Jekka McVicar, the herb queen of Britain, talking about why coriander is the number one nation herb. Do you use coriander, Sheila?
I do, but I don't think of it as a UK herb. That's interesting.
Yeah, well, that's Jekka McVicar's view. And then William Sitwell, of course, will be talking about his own unique gastronomic views, and the aforementioned Liv Clark will be joining us as well as Katie Grimason, who's up next, which means we have two farm questions to put to your good self. Sheila Jones, have you had a reasonably interesting return to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
I have indeed. I have missed being here.
There we are. And in fact, you should be in the studio, really. We should look towards that, because as you may have gathered, today it's just been the two of us. We haven't had a silent studio audience of people keeping very quiet, where I could actually sort of bowl them out to various other bits of news. So I take it then, before too long, you'll make that journey from Goole to Lincoln and hopefully connect with us again in the very near future.
Might very well do. Good night.
The one thing you can always say about our Birmingham correspondent, Katie Grimason, is, as well as being Birmingham's gift to the galaxy, yes, we've heard that jingle so many times, we never get tired of it, she knows her music. So, Katie Grimason, would you like to identify what we were just listening to?
Oh, I don't actually know.
Oh, no! Katie G! All sorted out there, and, you know, it was called Shuffle, and it was by... Oh dear.
I don't know.
Silent, you see. Obviously too obsessed with Broken Mitt Rebels. Or Broken Mitt whatever.
Broken Mitt Rebels.
Exactly, precisely. You didn't identify the Bombay Bicycle Club.
Oh, that's who it was.
Well, you see, it's Katie, William Sitwell will be mortified. You know, not only, as he said last week on the show, did he say, Katie, you must realise there's much more to life than just staring at a mug, i.e. yourself and, of course, William on the legendary mug that you both have, one mug, which is quite wonderful in every sense of the word. You need to go out and seize the day. Seize the day, as they were prone to say, and move from that perspective. So there we are, motivating thoughts. We were just talking to Sheila Jones from Goole and early, of course, the Chief Executive Officer of Visit England, all about the top 25 places to visit and locate and so on. They go through... number 25, the Northumberland Bamborough Castle, admiring it from the beach right the way through to seeking out the deer at Richmond Park in London. The top three, of course, picnicking on the shores of Windermere in the Lake District in Cumbria. It'd be interesting to see what Liv Clark has to actually say about that in the second part of the programme. Indulging in afternoon tea in Devon. And number one, the top choice for a survey of 2,000 parents who are voting for traditional activities, attractions and days out, enjoying a fish supper on Blackpool Pier in Lancashire. Sadly, Katie, no mention of Birmingham whatsoever. So just as we
actually did
with Sheila, and she managed to put together quite a good case for Goole in terms of a place to visit over the bank holiday and so on, I'm going to give you a few moments to actually say, why should we actually up sticks, poo sticks or otherwise, and actually visit Brummy and Birmingham over the bank holiday weekend? What's special about it, apart from the fact that you live there, of course?
Oh, I'm put on the spot, aren't I?
Yes, exactly.
I just love it. Like, it's very cultural, and you get a lot of diversity stuff. Like, there's loads of places to eat and all that, from different countries and stuff. So that's always nice. There's lots of attractions, like the Sea Life Centre, the library, Symphony Hall, and there's just lots to do for different people. And as well as being in the city centre, you get places like Sutton Park, what are quite like country, like the countryside, but it's in the middle of the centre. It's really quite cool.
I think you've done very well there. I think the Birmingham Tourist Board should employ you straight away. So good stuff in terms of that whole experience there, and nice there. But of course, you know, Birmingham is not just the centre of the universe for yourself, Katie. It's home to a whole range of other fine folk as well. And before too long, of course, you'll be returning to Lincoln for the awards ceremony, in which you become a graduate, as opposed to being a graduand, and celebrate all manner of wonderful things with respect to that. Are you looking forward to the ceremony in September?
I am, yeah. I'm a bit sad, though, because then that's Lincoln Uni over with. It's a horrible thought.
Well, yeah.
I think that my time's finally finished, because at the minute I'm still in, like, limbo a bit. I can say I'll still go to Lincoln Uni because I haven't graduated. But, yeah, when graduation comes, it's final, it's over.
Yeah, only if you choose it to be so. You could always do other degrees, or indeed postgraduate degrees and such like, at the university. So, you know, there's no sense of saying it's only over if you wish it to be over. That's the line we always take. So it's critical from that point of view. Meanwhile, of course, as folk are well aware, we just have to press this button here and then some magic emerges.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia. To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
And as John Wenham, our quizmeister extraordinaire and diary compiler, would obviously say, because he's put it top of the list, next Wednesday, August the 27th, at Stokes Cafe, that's just by the collection, in Lincoln. What do you think is going to be happening, Katie Grimerson?
Is it going to be the quiz, Lincoln-inspired
it
quiz?
It is the Lincoln-inspired quiz with a special bonus photo round. Look, I'm holding it up now. Can you see those photographs, Katie? Of course you can. And you can identify all of them from that point of view. So, you know, such excitement that's actually there. What advice, Katie, would you actually give people who are thinking, shall I put in that £2 to actually join the thing? Should I work through the whole thing? Why should they do it? What would you say, Katie? What should they do if they're listening to this thinking, next Wednesday, it's coming up to, you know, the end of the August time, we're heading into the fall, etc. Why should they actually take part in the Lincoln-inspired quiz?
It will get you thinking, because it got me thinking when I took part in it.
Exactly. It'll get you thinking.
And it'll challenge you.
Yeah, exactly.
If you like challenges, go to that quiz.
Challenge and get you thinking, so that we could ask for no more, quite literally. That's it. So you've managed to redress the balance of not being able to listen to the first part of the production, Katie, because you were in the land of Nod. It's okay, you know, just you know, you could of course have actually set it as your alarm on your mobile device to work through on the midweek drive morning edition. I could tell there was a sigh of relief when I actually said, oh, we'll come to you by 8:45. oh, it's not 8 a.m then. That's fair enough. So carry on with respect to that. What does the rest of the day have in store for yourself? Because you can't be topping up your tan unless, of course, you're going to use one of those dreadful sunbed scenarios, which we wouldn't advise people doing anyway. No, exactly. Very good.
I'm going to the city centre today at a centre called Innovation Birmingham, because I'm going to be blogging for this company who are there, so I've got to go and have a meeting with them. But I'm really excited about it because it's a new development, new company and all that. So I'll be writing some stuff for them. And that's about it, really, I think. Oh, sorting my graduation outfit out and my grad ball dress. And that's about it, I think.
I think that's more than enough. I mean, that's a whole heap of things to actually do through that. I mean, hopefully you've got some assistants to actually help you with this, and I have a couple of social secretaries to work through these pieces.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I should hope so, you know. Otherwise, how could we ever sort of say it's Princess Katie from Birmingham, which is very important, you know. quite literally, sort of PKG.
Are you going to be at grad ball, Alex?
Nobody'll ask me. What the hey? And besides, you know, these days we're more chronologically gifted. I've tried to find the pumpkin. I've tried to find the, but no, it's okay. It's for the graduands and the graduates to be. It's all really wonderful stuff. So I'll be there in spirit.
I'd like to meet up with you though when I'm in Lincoln again, because I'm coming on the 8th.
Well, Katie, we would certainly look forward to connecting with you. But as I say, even if we don't manage it then, there are other times and events that are taking through. We've got another audio postcard from London coming up next Friday, where we'll be heading down there to actually feature on the Cartoon Museum. So worry not, Katie Grimerson, you have not wrapped up your time as far as the Midweek Drive or Midweek Drive Morning Edition Drivette is actually concerned. In fact, I've just been looking at the photos for the upcoming 2015 Adventures in Broadcasting calendar, and I can say you're definitely in there, Katie. Oh, yes. Yeah. Katie, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
Yeah, as always.
So I take it you'll be back again probably in about a week's time.
Yeah, of course.
There you are, Katie Grimerson. Have a splendid day. Enjoy life. Keep on keeping on. And best to Birmingham.
And you.
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Extraordinary, just seeing a gentleman with a yellow stepladder about to pass the studio. It's not so much the unusual nature of us having a stepladder, but a yellow stepladder. You don't often see those around. Anyway, weather today, highs of 17 degrees centigrade, lows of 11 degrees centigrade. It's going to be cool and rather cloudy for much of the day. Scattered showers in the afternoon. OK, we had hoped to be connecting with ace musician Robert Beersby. His answer phone's on. It happens. Hopefully we'll speak with Robert in the very near future. If not, we will certainly hear from one of his musical tunes. And still to come in this hour of the programme, we will be speaking to Jekka McVicar, the official Herb Queen of Britain. I'll say that again, the official Herb Queen of Britain. Hopefully William Sitwell will join us as well. And of course, Liv Clark will be probably putting some more views and thoughts on that little question we launched with the Chief Executive Officer of Visit England in terms of, does it always rain in Cumbria? It would seem not.
Hi, this is Becca.
This is Alex.
This is Amy.
From
Jive Pony.
And you're listening to the Midweek Jive on Siren FM.
Excellent. Technically the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, but let's not complain over minor items such as that. We have succeeded. Good news. After a little bit of an interesting chase round and accessing details and such like, we can actually say legendary to be singer-songwriter and ace soul who's brought late nights and traffic lights to the world, etc. Robert Beersby, are you there?
I am indeed. Hello.
Hey, fantastic. And we've got to ask the question, whereabouts is there? Where are you this morning?
I'm currently in a random little town in the middle of the Kent countryside.
Oh, extraordinary. Yes, Kent. One of, obviously, the simple pleasures that I'm sure has been listed by Visit England, as we were featuring that earlier, 25 simple pleasures. Anything that's actually in Kent? No, I suppose the closest we've actually got to Kent is Berkshire, watching the change of the guards at Windsor Castle, in that point of view. So, Robert, we've already heard some of your magical musical stuff. We're going to hear in a few moments These Strings, which is a sensational number. How would you describe yourself? Would you just say, I'm a musician, I just go where the muse takes me?
I would always say, I would always say, first and foremost, I would call myself a lyricist, which something that's really important to me. You know, words have always been really important to me, and I've always loved the kind of whenever I've listened to a song, the first thing I pick up on is the lyrics, which kind of sounds obvious, but actually I think a lot of people pick up on the melody before they really listen to what the person's saying. Whereas for me, words have always been really important, and it's always just really been an expression, and that's what's been the most important thing from the start, is just making sure that I'm expressing myself, and then I kind of write the music to kind of add to that expression, if that makes sense.
It's got its roots back in the balladeers of actually talking about the lyrics, because you're quite right, I think an awful lot of folk tend to say, well, that's got a catchy melody, etc., but they don't realise what it's all about. It can be a heavy political statement, Free Nelson Mandela, for instance, a few years ago, or a range of other factors that sort of relate to that. Looking at the title of These Strings, I'm thinking this is probably not an ode to a string vest, although it could be, you know.
No, it's not. There's actually quite a story behind that with this one. Yeah, I mean, it's quite a personal track, and there's actually been some really really cool. There's a guy called Joe Latham, and he's designed some artwork for me based around. He heard the song and he loved the lyrics in the song, and he created this artwork. So the chorus is, I could press these strings until they all sound the same, or I could try and sing until my voice starts to break, but the only note I know how to play is you. And he took that and he kind of put it, and he's done this artwork with like the back of a woman, and he's put like strings in her back and made it look like her back is a cello or a violin, and it's really, really cool. So I'm going to be putting that up soon and showing people, because it's really cool what he's done with it.
It just adds a whole range of wonderful things there. I mean, Robert Bearsby, of course, These Are the Good Old Days, part of the YouTube channel that's actually there. Robert, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, because we want to find out about where people can actually see you, apart from on the magical virtual world of YouTube, which is always wonderful. We're going to actually have a little listen to these strings.
Absolutely.
Which I thought as well, is it Super String Theory? No, wrong on that one as well. Fantastically sensational, Robert. It's truly wonderful. In fact, I've just actually coined the phrase a profound and poetic performance, which is truly wonderful. A profound and powerful poetic performance. I'll add to that.
Oh, so, wow. Yeah. That's very, very kind.
Well, I mean, if Sarah Champion from Absolute Radio can say, picked by our head of music, there is no higher endorsement than that, I think we can go one better on Siren 107.3 FM, and that's why I thought we'd use that alliteration. A profound and powerful poetic performance. It's fantastic.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. That's really kind.
One of the little lines that comes across, obviously, from Robert Bearsby.com. Let's get this sorted through. RobertBearsby.com.
Bear is in the animal, S-B-Y.
Exactly. It's simple, quite as a meerkat would say, who obviously isn't a bear, but still. Robert Bearsby, This Ain't the Easy Life. In August 2012, Robert Bearsby found himself 12,000 miles away from home in Australia without a penny to his name. Was that through choice, or was it just a case of you thought, well, you know, Kent is a bit boring, so let's head off to Australia?
No, it actually wasn't through choice. I lived in New Zealand for 3 years, actually. One day I was sat in a bar with my friend, and he told me, he was one of my best friends, probably the first friend I actually made in New Zealand, and he said, oh, I've got something to tell you. I'm moving to Australia. So I was like, oh, well, I'll come with you. And I didn't really stop to think, I don't have any money and I don't have a job to go to. So I just kind of went with him, and I slowly found that unless you're an attractive woman or you are Australian.
So Robert, was gender realignment surgery not on the cards then? You decided you wouldn't go that far?
Unfortunately, I didn't have enough money for that. That was the only reason that was kind of stopping. Yeah,
otherwise, it would be called Roberta Bearsby, which is a different line entirely.
Yeah, exactly. I found myself there, and I didn't have any, and then I slowly kind of ran out of the few funds that I had, and I ended up just picking up my guitar and having to sit on the side of the road and just kind of making a living that way. And I slowly made enough money to get back to England.
Which is fantastic stuff. And you know, it's actually an epic cinematic story. The great news about RobertBearsby.com, of course, is you can actually get a physical copy of the EP, These Are the Good Old Days.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful. I mean, would you say you're still old school? Because I know Tallulah Rendell, that we work with quite extensively, she is very keen not only on the lyrics and the message behind her music, but also on the physicality that you don't really get from a digital download.
Absolutely. I just think it's really nice being able to have something to hold. And have something there that you can put in your car. You know, like I used to love buying albums and actually knowing what the tracks were called, because I just knew them as track numbers. You know, just having it in your car, and for me, I put a lot of thought into the structure of the CD and making sure that the track listing made sense, so that as you listen to it, it kind of the tracks work together. So I put them in an order that I feel like when you sit there and listen to it as a body of work, you kind of go, okay, this makes sense, this works, and so you're quite comfortable to listen to it from front. front to back, really.
I feel as though I should almost also go for the multimedia approach and go for a These Strings T-shirt, which is available in the RobertBearsby.com store. Why the logo, These Are the Good Old Days? Is it a case of kicking into postmodern nostalgia, or is it just something which you just thought, well, this works good? Because you've got, I mean, it can almost be described as a Victorian turn-of-the-century kind of clockwork mechanism that we've got in the imagery we've got here.
So These Are the Good Old Days came about because it's actually tattooed on the inside of my right arm. So I just love that kind of idea that whatever you're doing now is important, because in a week, 2 weeks, 3 years, 5 years or 10 years, what you're doing at the moment is what you're going to talk about with your friends at the end of that time. So I kind of really like just kind of the idea of living in the moment and really just doing that kind of aspect of it. And then I went to a designer that I absolutely love. And she's called Jenny Vallis, and she's done some incredible stuff. And I just said to her, look, I love creativity and I love expression. So I just, every time I work with a designer, I just say, look, you do what you want to do and just show me what you come up with. And they always respond really well to that, and they love the kind of freedom that I give people. So they just said, great. And she came back to me and said, after reading all the lyrics and listening to all the songs, I feel like there's, in my head, I get this idea of kind of space and time. And she came up with this kind of design that you see. And actually, on that design, it's called a paper cut. It's all carved out of paper. Mm. And she's created that whole thing herself, which is absolutely fantastic.
That's extraordinary, because I can see the paper, but I would have initially thought it's plastic or it's a kind of copper metal structure that's there. But I suppose 3D printing these days, who knows what magical things could actually work through. Robert, it's been fantastic connecting with your good self. Of course, a little nod in the direction of Tony Manila, of course, who has brought us together. And I know that we're working with Tony on a fabulous new podcast series called On Your Bike, which you might be able to listen to. Curious enough about cycling. Amazing, isn't it, really? It's the sort of thing. I suspect that we'll be featuring more Robert Bearsby tracks as the months and weeks proceed. In fact, I won't suspect. I know it will happen, because you can't keep such genius and joy down. A reminder to the listener, you can go to robertbearsby.com and find out all sort of magical details there, purchase the stuff, etc. When's your next live performance, Robert? I mean, anything sort of planned out, or is it just a case of, well, I'll find some place in Kent?
I have loads of stuff going on at the moment. I'm actually I'm doing next weekend. I'm off to Germany to do a couple of gigs, which is really good. Mm-hmm. And then I'm off on tour a few weeks later than that around the whole country, and then when I get back from that, I'm off to Finland to do a couple of gigs as well. And then in November I'm going to be playing in London at the Islington on the 21st, which is going to be really, really exciting. And and then I'm playing again in Kent in December, so there's lots going on.
So how can people find out where you are and get tickets and say, we want more Robert Bearsby?
Well, hopefully they say that. really just my social media. I'm quite active on social media. I'm always kind of running things and doing little competitions to give things away. So today at about 1 o'clock, we're doing a competition because today's the actual kind of announcement day of my very first headline show in London, which is the one on the 21st of November. And I thought I'd use that as an excuse to give some stuff away. So we're giving away two tickets to the gig. We're giving away a These Strings T-shirt. We're giving away an EP, a signed EP, and we're giving away a £15 iTunes voucher as well. So that's all going to be on my social media. And, that's the best place to really do. I'm very active, and I always respond to all the comments, and I always just make sure that anyone who messages me, I always reply and make sure it's a conversation, because I think the people that kind of listen to your music, they're the ones that kind of put you in this position. So I'm always really grateful for that.
Before we move to the next critical line, which is, what is your Facebook and indeed Twitter handle? How can we find you there and like you and do the rest of the bits and pieces? Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
That's been fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's
very good.
Brilliant.
So how do we find you on Facebook and Twitter and the like?
It's facebook.com/RobertBearsbyMusic.
Okay.
And on Twitter, it's just @RobBearsbyMusic. Unfortunately, there's a random guy with the same name as me, and he's already got that Twitter of just @RobertBearsby. So I had to have...
It's those random guys that can possibly actually lead to the inspiration for another piece of music. But just a thought, you know, some random guy, they've stolen exactly. My name. It's different line. Yeah, this ain't the easy life. Robert, it's been fabulous, as we say, chatting to your good self. We've answered the first question. We've answered the first critical or wrap-up thing. So the second one is, can we look forward to featuring you again in the very near future and keeping us and the listeners, of course, in Lincolnshire and the globe aware of where Robert Beersby is, whether it be Kent or other parts of the globe, as the weeks proceed?
Absolutely. I mean, at the moment I'm working on some new material, which is very, very different to what I've done before. I just feel like as time goes on, you know, you need to kind of develop and you need to change. And I feel like anyone who's been listening to me, I feel like if I brought out another EP that was the same as the last one, they would kind of go, well, hang on, you know, this is just the same as the last one.
Is it a one-trick pony? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm kind of developing and changing and... yeah, so I would love to come and show you some of that music as well. And hopefully in the future where I could come into the studio and see you and get to meet you in person, that would be fantastic.
I think that would definitely work through on that basis, and I think it's a definite yes to that. In fact, I'm just clicking the button now, which says Robert Beersby, musician band, and I have just liked you. So there we are. It's now way over 2,500 likes. It's 205,000, whatever. Fantastic stuff there. Robert, we salute you. Take care, and we'll speak again very soon.
Thank you so much.